Queens of the Court. Why do I shake like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
You do it.
Queens of the Court. What up?
How's that? We're the Queens of the Court podcast, trying to have some fun on this glorious day of summer, because it just turned summer.
This is the Queens of the Court podcast, and we are the King Size Queen.
I'm Paul Jafrida.
I'm John Hanson.
Also known as Peege.
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 I'm Housen.
Housen and Peege. So this is the Queens of the Court podcast. We are here today. Actually, we've got a very special and exciting show for you today.
Special show.
Super exclusive. Special. It is exclusive. Why exclusive. Not? We can call it that. We have a guest today.
We do.
We have a special guest today.
Yeah, this is a great one. We have Jeff from Elite Sports NY, the Liberty beat writer.
The New York Liberty's beat writer, Jeff Magliacetti, is going to be on our show today. Jeff's a great guy. I'm excited to kind of hear some of his insights and what he's got to say about the New York Liberty. We're really going to be doing like a spotlight today on the New York Liberty. We're going to be talking about the team's ins and outs, you know, because a lot's been going on with them. They've changed ownership recently. They have a new head coach as of a year ago. And Katie Smith is their new head coach, who's a legend of the game, you know, on the top five all-time WNBA scoring list. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to hear Jeff's thoughts about, you know, the change of ownership, the team on the court, and just, you know, all things New York Liberty.
Yeah, we're just going to really deep dive into the Liberty, their season, their players, and a little bit about, you know, why Jeff loves covering them and, you know, who he loves covering on the team, too. So getting his side of the story this time is going to be nice to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you most looking forward to kind of getting into with him once we bring him on?
I'm just real interested. So I'm real interested on, you know, the Nets ownership taking over the Liberty themselves. That's mm-hmm. exciting for me, being a Nets fan as well. Having that dual ownership is great.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, just knowing, getting some more insight about the players and the team and the coach. You know, I it's great to have somebody that's, you know, gets to interview them on a daily basis, gets to interact with them on a daily basis, and just to hear what he has to say about that.
Yeah, totally. So what do you say? Should we bring him on and jump right in?
Yeah, let's bring on Jeff.
All right, awesome. Do we have him? We got him on?
I think we have him.
Yeah? Okay, great.
Hey, Jeff. Welcome to the Queens of the Court podcast.
Guys, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. How you doing this afternoon?
Doing great. Doing great. Yeah, so let's get into this. We wanted to ask you, I guess, first off, just... yeah, how is it being the Liberty beat reporter? What's your day in your life of doing that for them?
Oh, you know what? I've said several times on Twitter, you can follow me at JeffMags5490. Just remember, folks, my name is spelled G-E-O-F-F, much like the giraffe with a famous name, not the traditional F-F. So that giraffe might be deceased now, considering Toys R Us closed down, but that's another discussion for another day.
Toys R Us giraffe, his name Jeff?
Yeah.
Jeffrey the giraffe.
I didn't know
Jeffrey
that.
The giraffe.
You didn't know that, no. Well, there's something new every day.
Yeah, but anyway, back on the topic of basketball, I've said it on Twitter several times. I'm very blessed to cover the New York Liberty. I've taken several other writing jobs since my foray into professional sports journalism. I've also written for the New York Jets, New York Giants, the Staten Island Yankees, Army football. But I've very much enjoyed my work with the Liberty, and you know, they're full of great people in that organization, and they happen to play some great basketball too. So in my duties as a beat writer with the Liberty, I believe that I can create a bigger footprint for the WNBA at this point. You basically have to cover it like you would any other sport. You know, there's no days off pretty much in a way. You got to get those updates out there, get the analysis out there, and, you know, interview as many players as you can. I've gotten to know the players very well, is what I'm trying to say, and they all have their great, unique stories on why they're here, their own special skill sets. And, you know, I very much enjoy it. I like going up to Westchester County Center. Arena's not the greatest. You know, of course, ideally they'd be playing in back in Madison Square Garden or, you know, in Barclays Center full-time next year. You know, it's great to go up there. It's great to get there during a pregame. Head coach Katie Smith, she knows her stuff, and she's very approachable. Great conversation to have with her, and everyone's just great over there. I love what I do over there, and once again, I'm just very blessed to cover the New York Liberty.
That's amazing. It's funny that you say that about Katie Smith specifically, because every once in a while, like, I catch like a picture of her, and she always has this really intense look on her face. And just because of her legendary history as a player in the WNBA, I find her very intimidating. And it's interesting to hear that she's very approachable.
Here's the thing. Katie Smith, she knows when to turn on. For those 2 hours during game time, 2+ hours, you know you're getting a quality performance from the New York Liberty squad. You know you're going to get a team that competes for all 40 minutes. I thought that trait was well on display during Saturday's loss to the Minnesota Lynx. The Liberty are in a bit of a rebuilding period right now in the sense that they're full of young players right now. They're still trying to get used to the trials and tribulations of new ownership right now. Last year was a bit of a limbo, a bit of a purgatory-like season for them in the sense that they were up for sale and playing their games far from home up in Westchester near Tarrytown rather than the familiar confines of Madison Square Garden. And it was hard for their fans to get up there too, a problem you still somewhat see over at Westchester County Center today. But what I really like about this team is that they compete for all 40 minutes. And, you know, Saturday was a great example of that. They didn't quit even when things looked dire in the final minute. They ended up losing the game by 8, but made things very, very interesting in the end. And they did not go anywhere. And I think that was a trait that Katie Smith carried over from her playing days. You know, and she spent a fantastic career in the WNBA. I remember reading about her when I was a kid in Sports Illustrated for Kids when they did the WNBA preview, and she was the headliner for the then expansion Minnesota Lynx. Then she went. Teamed up with Bill Laimbeer, got a couple of WNBA titles, even has a WNBA Finals MVP award. So now she's taking it to the coaching game. And the results might not be there for now, but you could definitely tell the players definitely believe in Katie right now. And I've gotten a few calls on Twitter. Maybe they should let Smith go. Maybe the problem is behind the bench. I highly disagree in the sense that Katie Smith knows what she's talking about. She's really gotten this team tightly in it together. They just spent an evening together, the entire team over in Brooklyn. They went out to dinner, and Smith said that it was, you know, a good night to, you know, just not talk about basketball in general right now, and, you know, or on that one night, excuse me. But the thing with this Liberty, everyone seems to agree with Katie Smith right now. They're on the same page with her. They're going to quote unquote trust the process, I've been told, because this is a trying time.
I like that.
Oh, yeah, they are, because this is a bit of a trying time for the Liberty in the sense that not only are they somewhat young, there's plenty of young players stepping up, namely Asia Durr, who has reached double figures in 5 of her past 6 games. She's really starting to get comfortable on the professional floor. Durr, of course, being their second overall pick out of Louisville in this past year's WNBA draft. So I definitely think the Liberty, in a sense, they're trying in the sense that they're 3-7 right now. 5 of those 7 losses have come by single digits, which I think is very interesting and all you can ask for from a rebuilding team at this point. But what makes this process even more arduous is the fact that they're playing with only 9 players right now. 4 players on the active roster are currently competing in the FIBA Eurobasket women's competition over in Serbia and Latvia. And another player, Rebecca Allen, is out for the foreseeable future with a hand fracture. But this team is competing right now despite missing some key names. For example, veteran interior presence, Kia Stokes has been playing in Turkey for the entire season thus far. She'll be back after Eurobasket. They just lost Amanda Zowie B, who really has come into her own in the starting lineup. But right now, this is a team that's really trying hard out there, and it's really hard to hate the direction this team is trending as we venture deeper into this summer WNBA season.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and you're killing it right now. You're crushing every question that we had for you.
Yeah,
you're preemptively beating us to them. We're going to ask you about the players going to Eurobasket, because we know that it's especially challenging for Liberty in the league because of how many people they have over there, especially with Zowie B, who had been really coming into her own this season.
You know,
so
to direct your listeners over to a piece I wrote over on W Insider, I wrote about Amanda Zowie B's last game, and it was an emotional scene in the Liberty locker room, in the sense that it was the perfect her departure almost totally defined what Amanda Zowie B can bring to this New York Liberty lineup. Amanda Zowie B is the type of presence that, you know, can be a great mentor. She can be a great teacher. That really came on display through the form of Han Shu, who I spoke to after a game recently. She said that Amanda Zowie B has been a tremendous presence for her. She remarked that back during that game against the Chinese national team over at Barclays Center earlier this season, or back during the preseason, when she hit the first basket in Liberty Brooklyn history against her former comrades from China, the first person to congratulate her was Amanda Zowie B. So
that's amazing.
Oh, it's great. And she's been just a great presence around there, and she's really come into her own. She's only 25 years old, but she's in some ways a relic from a certain point of view, in the sense that she is one of the last glimpses of the organization formerly known as the Tulsa Shock, who later went on to become the Dallas Wings. She was a second overall pick of the Shock in 2015. And when their time was up in the WNBA, she was traded over to the New York Liberty. Through the first few years of her career, Zowie B made one career start, including none last season, coming off the bench for 29 games. But glimpses of her greatness were starting to break through in the New York Liberty system last year. She was a rare silver lining in the Liberty's franchise worst 7-27 season. She averaged career best in points per game with 7.7 and in rebounds as well. And she was just continuing to shatter those records as this season went on. I don't think anything else needs to be said about what happened a couple weekends ago when she put up a season high 37, a season high for anyone in the WNBA this season, 37 points on the Los Angeles Sparks in what became the Liberty's first road win in 18 tries. That happened a couple weekends ago. But now that she's gone, she had a double-double in her final game, which was on Wednesday against the Chicago Sky. It was unfortunately another loss. And I don't think we could say enough about how great the Sky have been playing right now, but I assume.
Yeah, they've been incredible this season.
Yeah, surprising.
Very surprising.
To go on a bit of a tangent on the Sky, I thought they were going to be a playoff team this year. I had them in the eighth spot in my preseason rankings. I even had them winning a playoff game. But what they've done so far is impressive, and I want to give them a lot of credit. So props to the Chicago Sky. But back to the Liberty. Amanda Zowie B, her departure, it was more of a see you later than it was a true farewell. But at the same time, there was a sense of somberness to her departure. She basically said that she didn't want to lose her final game. She wanted to go out on a better note. The fact that she had a double-double in that final game with 13 points and 10 rebounds, you know, that was of no consolation to her. So she really is dedicated to this team moving forward, and she really wants to see them grow, and she has the utmost confidence in them. Katie Smith actually said that one of the reasons they brought her back was for her endearing personality, for her off-court exploits as well, and you definitely saw that in the Liberty locker room. Like, for example, right next to her, I believe to the right of her locker, as she was speaking with reporters, her locker neighbors Rebecca Allen and Tiffany Bias were playfully arguing over who Zowie would miss more. And over on her other side, over to her left, Brittany Boyd was basically begging her not to go, jokingly saying, Zowie, we'll miss you. Don't go to Europe, basically. So you can definitely see the impact she has on this squad. So that's something to look forward to. But the Liberty continue to compete, and they actually have a pretty decent contest coming up this Friday at Westchester County Center. They're going to be playing the Dallas Wings, this undermanned squad right now. They're going up against a Dallas team that's slowly but surely starting to find their stride. And they could definitely, you know, work something into it. Because what struck me as very interesting about this WNBA season thus far, and I'm sorry if I'm rambling here, guys.
No, you're great. This is amazing, because this is a bunch of stuff we would be talking about anyway. So to hear from your perspective has been pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting about this WNBA season thus far is the idea that anybody can beat anybody. The parity is basically reaching the levels of what
it's amazing. Yeah, the parity this year is amazing.
Oh, it's fantastic. And up until Sunday afternoon, I thought the Connecticut Sun were perhaps exempt from that, but they went over to Chicago, the aforementioned Sky, and got beat over there. But right now, you look at the standings right now, anybody could be anybody. No result would shock me on a night-to-night basis here in the WNBA. Because you look at the Liberty's wins, it's not like the teams they've beaten are slouches. They've beaten the Sparks. They've beaten the Las Vegas Aces. They've beaten the Minnesota Lynx. So these are no slouches that the Liberty are beating right now. And five of their seven losses have come by single digits. There were two no-shows. There was a road game in Indiana after they had 8 days off where they got blown out. There was a Friday night in Vegas where they got just crushed by 35 or never in the game. But other than that, they've done a fantastic job of sticking with it. And I think that's all you could ask for a rebuilding team right now. To compare to a bit of a mainstream sport a bit in a way, and something that, you know, maybe New Yorkers will be a little bit more familiar with at this point, and personally I'm a fan of them as well, are the New York Rangers right now. They're the same way in the sense that both teams are rebuilding right now, surrounding a friend, trying to get a familiar talent who's been with the team forever, a championship. With the Liberty, it's Tina Charles, and with the Rangers, of course, it's Henrik Lundqvist. Both of them are also going to be energized by the second overall pick in their respective drafts. The Rangers with Kaapo Kakko recently, drafting him on Friday night, and the Liberty with Asia Durr. So that's very interesting, kind of ironic considering they just left Madison Square Garden. But this is a team that New York can definitely rally behind, and I think the way they're just sticking with these opponents, never saying die, never saying quit. And you know what? If they keep playing like this, I think, call me crazy, they well could be a playoff team. They're only, what, one game out right now? But let's see what happens. Maybe we're looking too far down the road. Let's see how they survive in this European stretch right now. Eurobasket extends to July 7th. That's the latest date. That's the championship. That's the excuse me. That's a championship final, I believe. So they have four players over there right now. Bria Hartley and Marine Johannes, the latter being a rookie. They're in France right now. Hia Stokes is in Turkey, and Zowie B is, of course, with Sweden. So I definitely think that if the Liberty can survive this stretch, they have six games, and some of them are decently manageable games as well. You have Dallas on there. You have another rematch with Vegas that ends this whole thing, the rubber match of their three-game set. I believe the 2-7 Dream are on that docket too. So if you can get through this through like 2-4 or 3-3, I think you could be in good shape once the team returns to relatively full strength, depending on Rebecca Allen's hand fracture at this point.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking too. We were talking about it a little bit earlier about where they might sit, because they have probably the biggest, you know, giving away four players to Eurobasketball. They have the worst end of it. So we were talking about it before. If they were able to squeeze out some wins, yeah, they could be sitting there nice. But we were also
thinking, they got the talent. There's no reason that they shouldn't be winning some more games.
Honestly, they look great this year in the sense of talent-wise. Like, I did not expect the Liberty to be where they're at in that sense. I almost thought they were going to go winless for a bunch of these games early in the year.
Well, they did in the early
year. But still, to see where they're at and to see how hard they're playing is awesome.
Yeah.
I love Zowie B. I love Tina Charles. And Kia Nurse was somebody that I thought last year that, you know,
she's played big this year.
Yeah, she's played huge this year. And, you know, you see Kian Nurse doing that. And then, you know, Asia Durr is going to come into her own. That's who she is. You know, she's going to be a scorer. She's going to be one of the best players in the WNBA in a few years. But, yeah, do you think that from a team perspective, though, that they're trying to get a higher draft pick next year, too?
Oh, no. I want to dispel the notions of tanking by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay,
First of all, it's even if they wanted to tank, it's far too early to even have those discussions at this point. I mean, come on, we're only 10 games into the year. So, look, would you like to have a higher traffic? Sure, of course, who wouldn't? Who knows? Maybe Sabrina Ionescu will be around for them at that point and add another talented guard to this bunch. And I just wanted to just get something in edgewise about Kia Nurse. I have another article which I wrote on EliteSportsNewYork.com in the sense that she has had a fantastic breakthrough year this year. And what I found interesting, you know, After the NBA Finals ended, you know, Game 6 with the Raptors winning that title, I found it, you know, interesting and maybe a little troubling, I guess you could say, the fact that people were bemoaning that there was no more basketball until October. Well, here's the thing. If these NBA Finals taught us anything, It's two things. One, they like hard-nosed, gritty, high-scoring, show-stopping basketball. Two, they like it with the Canadian twist. North America, you're going to love Kia Nurse because this is the player that you should keep your eye on, especially in the wake of this Canadian basketball explosion. So this is a player that I believe can not only re-energize basketball in New York, but can re-energize the league on a national level. She has shot up the scoring list. She's currently top 10 scoring right now because let's face it, over at UConn, she was never really known as being a total scoring type. She was more known for her defensive work. And it reminds me of a game that I've talked with both her and Asia Durr about. First of all, I cannot say more about their chemistry right now. I in fact did a joint interview with them after Wednesday's game, and they were just they could not have been better. Their chemistry is fantastic. They like to joke around. It's
encouraging.
Oh, it's great. It's a fantastic.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. You could see it on the court, though. They really do look like they're playing well together.
Absolutely. And I think it's by no coincidence that Nurse has been by Durr's side as she has gotten more comfortable on the court. And what's interesting to me about this, because back in college, it was Durr's junior year and Nurse's senior year. They played when UConn took on Louisville. I believe UConn was top ranked at the time. What else is new? And Louisville was ranked fourth. And, you know, Durr had 20 points in that game, but it took her about 20 baskets to do it. I think about 18 to 20 baskets to do it. And on draft night, after she got the call from the Liberty, I asked Asia about what it was going to be like to be working with Kia. And I asked Kia the same thing. She happened to be in attendance that night over at the Nike headquarters. And they pretty much said the same thing. I'm glad I don't have to play her anymore. There was a mutual feeling. It was great there. You can really see that they're really taking advantage of this new opportunity right now. And, you know, the New York Liberty, they're in a sense, the Liberty are a team that currently right now is still defined on what Tina Charles does. She is the head of the league. And rightfully so. I mean, come on. Tina Charles is an all-time great. 12th in the league, 12th in the all-time league scoring list right now. Still near the top of the league leaderboards in scoring. So I think we can agree that this is still Tina Charles's team. But once Tina Charles's day comes, you know, when she goes to focus on her growing documentary career, she recently released a film at the Tribeca Film Festival, spoke with her a little bit about that. She did a great job with that and is currently looking for her next story, but she's a little busy right now, safe to say. But right when Tina Charles's day comes, it's safe to say that this franchise is in good hands with Kia Nurse and Asia Durr. So I understand the temptation, you know, to tank might be there, but the Liberty are going to have none of that. So I say we stop having that conversation now.
Absolutely. Fair enough. And as we talk about Tina Charles, I got to say, she's one of those players that I think on some level I've always found her basketball play to be high intensity and in a great way, but I always kind of wanted to know, what's she like off the court? Is she an intimidating personality, or, you know, what's she like?
Tina Charles is very game focused, but she is approachable. She knows what she's talking about. She's very smart. She knows what she's doing on the court and off, and she has a great sense of her local community, not just on the court but off the court as well. You know, I mentioned documentary. She's still running Hopi's Heart Foundation, named after her late aunt to this day. That organization, of course, providing life-saving defibrillators in local areas throughout the tri-state.
Oh, that's awesome.
Area. So she does a great job with that. So in other words, basically Tina Charles is an all-star both on and off the court. And it's basically the little things that, you know, really stand out to me, in the sense that I've been covering this team for a year and a half, and I have yet to see Tina Charles reject a single autograph when young fans come and scrum around her, because, you know, it's easy to do that. You know, you get lost in the crowd, in the sense, and she's a star player, so of course she's going to have the biggest crowd around her. And it's no matter where she goes, I have not seen her reject anyone once. So, and
I like to think that that's like a commitment that everyone in the WNBA kind of has to, like, you know, the fan base and the next generation, to really help grow the game, don't you think?
I agree. She's been just a tremendous ambassador right now. If something like, God forbid, if she was in a situation, God forbid, like what happened to Breanna Stewart, she would be a fantastic ambassador choice.
Yeah, well. Yeah, for sure.
I definitely think that Tina Charles and Kia Nurse, for that matter, and to a lesser extent Asia Durr, they carry a high responsibility in the sense that they're playing in New York. It's New York. What's not? It's the city. It's the sports city. Welcome to New York. It's been waiting. Yeah. as the great Tim.
And you know, they want it too. And I'm really encouraged with the move back. I'm a big Nets fan. So for me, seeing the Nets organization go over there and, you know, buy them up and get them back over to the Barclays is really exciting to me. So is that the vibe that you're getting around the team as well?
Extremely encouraged by that. I think one of the best nights, if not the best night in women's sports history in New York, had to be the night that the Liberty played China, because it was in the sense that there was great talent on display on the court during the game and before it as well. They hosted a couple clinics before the game. Teresa Weatherspoon, who of course will be inducted into the Hall of Fame later this year, she was on hand as an instructor. She currently serves on the Liberty bench as an assistant. And Stefan Marbury was likewise there. They held the court for the youth of the league. And what Joe Tsai has taken over ownership of this team from James Dolan from the Madison Square Garden Company. And one of the first things he said back when he bought the team in January, he didn't come outright and say it, but there was a strong sense of I'm keeping the team here. There was a sense of commitment that I got from the letter, and I was very encouraged by that because, like I said, this is New York. This is the – As the great Sinatra once said, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And I spoke with Taj McWilliams Franklin recently about this. She played for the Liberty a single year, currently in the NBA Associates program, doing some fantastic work there. You can read that on W Insider as well. And she was very pleased. She couldn't believe – she was so enthused by the fact that there was going to be a team in New York because she said it herself, everyone else can make their claim that – everything flows through this city or that city, L.A., Minnesota, but everything flows from New York, and that's basically true for any sport. And if you could get things going in New York, you can get things going elsewhere. It's essential to get things going in New York, and that's why Tina Charles, Kia Nurse, and again, to a lesser extent, Asia Durr, have this target on their backs. I think they're responding well to the challenge thus far. The wins haven't come yet, but let's face it, they're closer than a lot of people think, I believe.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's just the league is just so, you know, stock full of talent right now. It's just not an easy league to record, you know, consecutive wins in. So, you know, we're definitely watching. We're paying attention. Big question for you about the move to Barclays. You know, what is the Liberty planning to do to really engage, you know, the audience in Brooklyn?
Well, for one thing, the Liberty have made their homes in Brooklyn as well. Last year was a bit of a struggle because they were practicing in Tarrytown and playing and living elsewhere, living in the city. Oof. And playing in Westchester. So that was a bit of a messed up situation in that point. They are practicing in Brooklyn right now. They have set up their practice facility over at St. Joseph's College down there. So they have made their homes in Brooklyn. As I mentioned before, they recently had a bit of a team dinner, you know, just a chance for them to unite, get together, and, you know, just not talk about basketball for one night. And I think that was good for them. And I think the plan ideally would be to get into Barclays Center full time, or at least a more prominent place. I've heard, for example, that Nassau Coliseum could be somewhere they could go as well. They currently have G League team, the Long Island Nets. I spoke with NBA Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum when he came to visit for the Liberty's opener against the Indiana Fever. He was very pleased with the way that the Liberty were being run, and he said that to have an owner like Joe Tsai, it's fantastic for us. He's a fan too. He's been so supportive of this team, and he's going to provide the resources to make them succeed. Now, he also said that the team was, quote, committed to playing most of the season at Westchester County Center. There is going to be a game in August against the Seattle Storm later this year, so they have that to look forward to. But he also said that he and Kathy Engelbert, who the WNBA commissioner, they were reminded the Palestra upon entering Westchester County Center. Now it struck me as something similar to what both Lisa Borders, the former WNBA president, and NBA commissioner Adam Silver said when I spoke with them last season. They thought Westchester County Center reminded them of Cameron Indoor Stadium, they both being Duke graduates and all. But I think
clear that Liberty fans want a more prominent and more permanent solution for their home arena. He said, while there is a commitment to the Westchester County Center right now, this is Tatum, by the way, he did say that Joe Tsai was exploring more full-time options, including Barclays Center. So this is definitely something to look forward to as we move forward and as the Liberty's Brooklyn assimilation continues.
Yeah, and I really do think that with as soon as, you know, they start rolling off a few more wins and, you know, the team keeps growing, it's going to be more obvious that people around here love basketball and they just want to see a product here in the city. So I think that the move, I pray for it to be to the Barclays instead of Nassau.
I pray.
Hey, I'm a Nets fan. I got super excited that they went and did this and they went and got them. I hate the Knicks. I'm not a James Dolan fan. I've always hated whatever he's done with both the Rangers. Everything about what he's done, I've always kind of been like, why? Just why? And the ownership group, the new ownership group that's part, you know, they're minority owners of the Nets and they're full owners of the Liberty now. I'm just really excited of what they could bring to the city and what their way of getting the Liberty up to what their brand should be.
I like it. So, Jeff, I have another question for you here. We've talked a little bit about Tina Charles and Asia Durr and Kia Nurse and Amanda Zawi B. Give me a dark horse on the Liberty who could make a big impact for the rest of the season.
Sorry, what was that?
I said give me a dark horse, a player on the Liberty that maybe we're not talking about as much right now but could have a really big impact on the team going forward.
I think the star attraction in that category would probably be Han Shu. She, of course, being the second-round pick for the Liberty this WNBA draft, made a bit of a big splash. She, of course, being the first Chinese selection in the WNBA draft since the inaugural one back in 1997. She's really struggled to find a place in this starting lineup right now, because not starting lineup, but in this lineup in general, in the sense that she's still getting used to the American game a little bit. She's still, you know, struggling with her defense. She's just struggling to get a little comfortable out there. Katie Smith has also mentioned the matchups haven't worked in her favor. I think we can go back to the first game of the season. We could go back to the first game of the season back against the Indiana Fever. Han came in for 1 minute, basically, and she got outplayed by Tierra McCowan, got one foul, and then got back to the bench for the rest of the game. And it's really been, you know, she's really struggled to gain a bit of a semblance of stability ever since. There was that blowout game in the rematch against Indiana over at the establishment formerly known as Conseco Fieldhouse, now known as Bankers Life Fieldhouse. But she came in there and shot 3 for 3, 7 points, and also got some decent minutes during the Liberty's other blowout loss in Las Vegas. So, you know, she's still developing. I spoke with her a little bit about, you know, staying positive. She's keeping her head up. Her teammates have been very supportive of her. And she spoke to her translator and said that she kind of expected not to be playing, you know, all these big minutes immediately. So she's definitely someone to keep an eye on, especially as we look forward deeper into the year. There are two players I actually want to keep an eye on. It's the two lesser known players of the starting lineup in Brittany Boyd and Rashonda Gray. Now, the two of them are both Cal graduates, and they've done a great job developing and maturing under assistant coach who will go on to become the new head coach of Golden Bears basketball in Sharman Smith. Sharman Smith, of course, replacing the Cleveland Cavaliers-bound Lindsey Gottlieb. She's going over to the Cavs as an assistant, of course. And they've really come into their own. Gray was one of the last people, the last person, onto the Liberty roster, and she's responded with career highs. She hit double figures in each of her three games. She's averaging 5.9 points, 5.2 rebounds, by far her career highs at this point. So, and Brittany Boyd is doing fantastic as well. Last season, she tied with Diana Taurasi for fourth in the WNBA assists. And I don't care what the statistic is, when you're tied with Diana Taurasi in something, you know you're doing something.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and right now she's third in the league, I believe, in assists right now. So she's doing a great job. Those are a few names you should definitely keep an eye on moving forward.
Great. Yeah, I think Brittany Boyd has been like just such a high motor. Like her energy on the court when I watch her, she's just everywhere. She's got that speed. She's a small guard, so she's really exciting. And Han Shu, I just wanted to mention, you know, Han Shu real quick, and just you know, kind of respond that she had a great game against China when they played. You know, she played big minutes and scored big in that game, and I was really encouraged by that because I was kind of expecting more of what we've seen in the WNBA season, just kind of her getting acclimated. Isn't she also significantly younger than most rookies? Isn't she 19
years old?
She's what?
19.
Yeah. And I thought that was interesting because American players can't even enter the NBA WNBA draft until they're 22 years old or turn 22 that year. So I thought it was interesting. You know, she's much younger and she's still, you know, really trying to get acclimated. So, you know, I'm excited to see what she can do in her career as well.
So, Jeff, wanted to ask, for you, who has been your most exciting interview this year? Who's the funnest person you get to interview or interview?
I mean, I really don't want to play favorites in this sense right now, but everyone's been very good. I love talking to each of them. They've all been fantastic. I think the favorite interview I'd done was one before the season started. I sat down with Tina Charles and spoke with her about her movie, which premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival. It's a documentary film entitled Charlie's Records. For those of you who don't know, it's called Charlie's Records, and it's about her father Ralston, who owns a record store in Brooklyn full of calypso music. There's a recording studio up above as well. It's been open for years. Ralston came over from this country, from the Caribbean, and really established himself and really made a name for himself in that area. You can always see him sitting courtside at the games. He's always dressed in these fantastically colored suits, which would look horrible on me. Somehow he pulls off. So he does a fantastic job with that. He's a great guy to talk to. I spoke with her a little bit, talked about, you know, the movie and what she's looking forward to do next. She's looking forward to become what we've seen guys like LeBron James come and become in the NBA, because, you know, LeBron moved to Los Angeles not only to play for the Lakers, but also to establish himself as a bit of a media mogul as well. He of course, you know, he's forming Space Jam. He's working on Space Jam 2 right now. He's working on several TV shows. He has a couple on HBO, I believe. And I believe I heard some crazy rumor that he could be, you know, part of a Friday the 13th reboot, but it could because eventually he knows about, you know, masked guys who instill fear into opponents. It would be LeBron James. So, but I don't. She's definitely looking to expand her career off the court as well. And, you know, I talked to her a little bit. About the recent Space Jam news, Space Jam 2 news. As a matter of fact, that it would be casting Taurasi and the Ogumike sisters in the film. And unfortunately, Tina said that probably wouldn't be something that she wanted to do. She's more of a behind the camera person. She wouldn't be like a Spike Lee or Quentin Tarantino type, you know, sticking herself in the movie while directing it. But I'm very interested to see what she comes up with next. She's looking for her next story, but like I said, she might be a little busy right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that. You know, I love that, you know, anytime these players can like use their voice to, you know, really deliver some message and really get out there to the community, I think it's great. So
yeah, and I love Tina. She's the best. I just love Tina Charles. She's so amazing. But yeah, Jeff, this has been amazing. Anything that you want to talk about that you wanted to get to, because we've had you here for almost 40 minutes, so wanted to wrap this up a little bit, is there anything you wanted to talk about or on your end?
I mean, just to go back where we started, I'm grateful to cover this team. I'm blessed to cover this team, and I really hope that I you know, I'm supposed to be impartial in a way to all this, but I really hope they find some solid footing. I really hope they refine that fan base that was so prevalent, so strong, so loud back at Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. So I really hope they refine that sense of stability, and I really wish them nothing but the best going forward. And I look forward to being with them for as many steps of the way as I can.
So that is Jeff Magliacetti. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff, G-E-O-F-F, Mags, M-A-G-S, 5490. His Twitter is lit as fuck, so you should definitely check it out. He's really, really good at, you know, covering everything and getting you out the updates that you need. You can also check him out at elitesportsny.com. He has a bunch of articles on there, and he's just a phenomenal writer, and we're really blessed to have had you on the show.
Yeah,
thank
we really
you
appreciate
so much,
it. This
Jeff.
Has been amazing, and your insight and everything has been awesome. We loved hearing about it, and we can't wait to have you back on.
I gotta say, it's the first time my Twitter account has ever been called lit as beep, but guys, thank you. Keep up the great work. It's a great thing you're doing. Thank you.
Thanks very much, yeah, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. All right, you have a great one. Ah, man, that was great.
Yeah, Jeff was amazing.
That was awesome.
I want to thank him again. Thanks again, Jeff.
Yeah, woo. Thanks a lot. That was great to have him on the show. Really knows his shit.
Yeah.
And you can tell, like, not only does he know his shit, but, you know, he's just real passionate
real
about
passionate,
it.
Real excited
he's really
about
into
it. Yeah.
It's great.
I love it. We're going to have him on again, definitely.
We didn't get any dirt about the Liberty, though, you know? We didn't really look for it
too
much.
We didn't press him too hard.
We'll
press him hard.
We're going to look for some dirt.
Yeah, well.
I was holding my microphone backwards again.
It's not. Always look for dirt.
I know. Anyway.
But, yeah. He'll give us dirt eventually. I mean,
off air, we'll get some dirt, we'll just filter it in on air.
It doesn't have to be like bad dirt. It could be great, you know, just like stuff.
We just want something juicy. Yeah, we want some drama.
Yeah, give me some juice.
Give me some drama. Mm. We'll get there next time.
But yeah,
that was awesome.
Thank you.
That was
thank
awesome.
You for doing that. We're gonna have him on again. We're gonna do more of those style kind of interviews here and there.
Sure.
We'll try and get other beat reporters on from other teams.
Yeah, we'll try to get some players and, like, coaches, too, eventually.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, I'm saying, like, we're going to do...
I got my eye on Kurt Miller.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely should come join
us. Right, that's what I'm saying. Keep it in the family.
Come on, girl.
Anyway. Anyway, this has been a Queens of the Court podcast special edition.
Interview
with Jeff Magliacetti. What a great name, too.
Magliacetti.
I love it. Yeah. I feel like there should be a restaurant called Magliacetti's, and I would eat there.
Sure there is.
You think?
Yeah.
Should we find it?
I Google it. I guarantee you'll find it so fast.
King size Queens holiday party at Magliacetti's.
Magliacetti.
What a great guy. That was a lot of fun. Super excited that we got to do that.
Yeah, again, check him out on Elite Sports.
Yeah.
NY.
Yeah, check out his stuff. He's a great guy, great reporter, and keeps it tight.
Yep.
So this has been Queens of the Court. I'm Paul Jafrida.
I'm John Hansen.
We're the King Size Queens, as you know. This is the Queens of the Court podcast.
Boop.
You know how bad we are at closing these things
boop,
out.
Boop, boop, boop.
So
bye.
We're gonna say bye. And remember, make it rain, girl. Make it rain, girl, make it rain. Make it rain, girl, make it rain.